Me?
If you have your Bibles, you open up to 2 Thessalonians. I'll be there in just a few moments. And before I forget, I don't want to offend anybody, but the meal list that was at the back had more than enough people on there. I filled in some spots and just said taken, 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 taken in those empty spots. Don't be offended if you say, well, no, I wouldn't want to take you. You won't offend me, you can do that, but I just want you to know that I'm okay with those spots that are taken and not going out, because after that meeting in West Virginia, I had to unleash another notch in my belt, and that's not good. You guys always feed me well, and I appreciate that. So I don't want to offend you if you want to. I'm not going to be upset about that, but I just want you to know I'm not upset with what's already up there. So having said that, we'll get into our lesson today. Appreciate the songs that we just sang. Appreciate the one we just sang. Ties into what we're going to be talking about tonight. Or if I keep saying tonight, I mean this afternoon. Just used to saying that. This passage in 2 Thessalonians is a powerful one that I want us to be thinking about, because I don't want any of us to ever grow weary. And there's so much out there that can discourage us. And so this afternoon's lesson is to try to give us a little bit of a boost. So I'm going to begin reading in verse 7 of 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. And I believe I have it up there so you can see where we're at with this. And so it says here, Paul writes to the church there and says, "For you yourselves know how you ought to follow us, for we were not disorderly among you. Nor did we eat anyone's bread free of charge, but worked with labor and toil night and day, that we might not be a burden to any of you. Not because we do not have authority, but to make ourselves an example of how you should follow us. For even when we were with you, we commanded you this: if anyone will not work, neither shall he eat. For we hear that there are some who walk among you in a disorderly manner, not working at all, but are busybodies. Now those who are such, we command and exhort through our Lord Jesus Christ that they work in quietness and eat their own bread. But as for you, brethren, do not grow weary in doing good." And I'm going to tell you, folks, when you stop and think about that, if somebody's doing well or doing good, how could you possibly grow weary? We have an adversary. And he wants us to grow weary. And you might say, "Chuck, he's not winning. I'm here." Well, we could grow weary and still be attending services. You see, the devil just wants us to just kind of exist. Kind of like the Church of the Laodiceans. Be lukewarm. Because I want you to get discouraged. And there are times when there are things that come up in our lives that causes that. And so I'm wanting us to look at some things that could cause brethren to grow weary. And these points that we're going to be looking at tonight, I want to say, let's not grow weary because of those things. And we're going to notice why in just a few moments. But like anything, life can be hard. We've been talking a lot over lunch, and you know, my wife's mom is 92, and it's getting hard for her, and you know, trying to take care of her and without being able to hardly see and hear, and she really has a hard time getting around. But life in itself, your job, it could be co-workers. I mean, it could be anything in your life, but on a spiritual level, there are things that could cause us just to can't handle the burdens anymore. Now here's a few things that we're going to look at tonight that might be a cause of such. And one of them has to do with lack of results. And this isn't just evangelism, but you know, we can be really hard on ourselves. Let's look at a few passages here. I'm going to be over in Acts, the 9th chapter. Acts chapter 9. And of course, we know that Saul had obeyed the gospel, and now that he's turned his life around, we're going to pick it up in about verse 22. And I'm in Acts chapter 9. But Saul increased in all the more in strength and confounded the Jews who dwelt in Damascus, proving that Jesus is the Christ. Now after many days were passed, the Jews plotted to kill him, but their plot became known to Saul, and they watched the gates day and night to kill him. Then the disciples took him by night, let him down through the wall in a large basket. I'm just trying to help people. This morning we talked about the fact that Jesus came. He's just trying to help people. And what did they do? They ended up killing him. But I want you to see that there are times when lack of results can cause people to become disheartened and grow weary. I was in Manhattan in New York, and the preacher there, when I was there for a meeting, he told me, he says, "Chuck, there was this young man who obeyed the gospel. Man, Chuck, he was on fire. Man, he bought a bunch of Bibles, and he got the names printed on the bottom of the Bibles of the people that he's trying to reach, and he would give them a Bible and family members and try to study with them. And nobody would respond. Nobody wanted to study with him. And he just quit. He fell away. He got so discouraged because of the lack of results. And folks, when people focus on results, you're going to get in trouble. But you have to look on the positive sides of things. That's what I'm wanting us to think about tonight. Because the sower, in Matthew chapter 13, Jesus illustrates how important it is to sow the seed. And I'm going to tell you, folks, that there's some positives that can come from this. You're not going to know this name, but I'm going to throw this name out. Les Little. You don't know who that is. But you know who that is? That's a guy, when I first started preaching, I was much younger than Michael. Yeah, way younger than him. And I wanted to get a study, and this guy came knocking at my door, and he was, you know who that was, right? And so these JWs, and he wanted to have a Bible study. So, I'll get together, we'll have a Bible study. I studied with him for 3 months. What was going on during those 3 months? Man, I'm home cramming. The guy would talk me into a corner. So I'm studying, I'm growing, I'm praying about it. I tell brethren about it. They're praying about it. They're coming up to me after each class when I would come to services. Hey, how was your class with Les last week? And so we were talking about that, and they're being encouraged by it, and they're praying about it. And so the class eventually came to an end. Anything good come from that? A lot of good came from that. I mean, here, it was helping me study. I was praying more. The brethren were excited about it. They were praying about it. And that's what it's all about. There are positives there. But when you just focus on the results, we're going to be in trouble. And that's kind of like a preview. We're not going to spend all of it because that was most of the morning lessons today. The morning lessons, you know, Jesus came to this world. The world. How many in this world, you know, when I think about this, was Noah a success? You know, Peter tells us over in 2 Peter chapter 2 that Noah was a preacher of righteousness. And think about this. You know, people look at the flood, and people look at the negative on stuff. And I'm trying to get the positives out there. People look at the negative. They'll look at that flood and they'll say, man, how could God be so cruel? Look at it. If God was so cruel, he spoke the world into existence. Do you think he could have spoke an ark into existence? Yeah, he could have said, there's an ark. Get on the ark. Could he just speak the animals into the ark? Get in the ark. Like he just say that. And Noah, get in the ark. He could have done that and then flood, right? No. God calls Noah to build it. And during the time of over 80 years of building that ark, what is Noah doing? He's a preacher of righteousness. Failure? Not a failure. Not at all. He kept himself on track, Noah did. Just like when I studied with the Jehovah Witnesses, I didn't become a Jehovah Witness. You know, matter of fact, I got stronger, you know, by studying. You know, and so you look at Noah, well, he saved him and his wife and his sons and their wives. Yeah, there was good that was there. And he said, well, look at all the people that were lost. Look, you don't focus on the results, folks. Don't grow weary in well-doing. Did Noah do well while he was building the ark? Yes. You and I, we just need to keep pushing forward and serving God. That's why Paul says here, don't grow weary in doing well. And the reason when we read this text here in that 2 Thessalonians, and he says the same thing over in Galatians chapter 6, why does he say it? I'll tell you why he says it. because it can happen. You know, it breaks my heart. There's a preacher shortage out there. I get calls all the time. Excuse me, I'm sorry. Might be more of that. I should grab some water too. Preacher shortage. People call me up. Chuck, do you know anybody? You know anybody? And I can't tell you the number of young men that I have spoken to who were preaching who quit. Get discouraged. They grow weary. Well, were you not preaching the word? Well, yeah, I was preaching the word. Were you doing the best that you could? Yeah, I was doing the best I could. Well, don't grow weary and well done. But the devil, in Ephesians chapter 6, he talks about the wiles of the devil. The wiles. He is so crafty. And he just wants you and I to say, you know what? I'm not doing it anymore. I'll do some, but I'm not. The zeal, it's gone. It's gone. And that's one of the reasons why it happens, because of that particular point. Secondly, I'll tell you what. We can get pretty hard on ourselves. Are you perfect? Are you perfect? You're not. 1 John tells, I'm going to read that passage here in Acts chapter 10, but 1 John, here's the apostle himself saying, hey, if we say, what, you're including yourself, John? Yeah. If we say we have no sin, we're a liar and the truth's not within us. Man, I'm just tired. I get tired of temptation that comes around and I resist that one and you think I'm winning the battle and then something else comes up and I have to go to God and pray for forgiveness of sin. You know, the lack of perfection in our lives. But you know what? I think of Peter. You know, here's a guy, he's walking on water. Lord, save me. Oh, thou little faith. And there's Peter, pulls out his sword, cuts off. Put up your sword. There's Peter. He's always quick to speak. Said, Lord, far be it from you. When Jesus said he was going to be crucified, get behind me, Satan. But you know what I find out? I go to 1 Peter chapter 5. Did you know that Peter became an elder? He grew. He was far from perfect. You and I are far from perfect. But we don't sit back and say, you know what, since I can't be perfect, I'm not going to try. Well, of course not. That's not our attitude. In Acts chapter 10, he mentions in verse 24, on the following day, he entered Caesarea. Now, Cornelius was waiting for them, and they called together his relatives and close friends. As Peter was coming in, Cornelius met him and fell down at his feet and worshipped him. Peter lifted it up, saying, stand up, I also am a man. I like this, you know. And Cornelius, not a Christian yet, but even at that stage, you know, it's like, I've got to learn. Hey, get up, I'm also a man. You know, there's a lot of things that we've done in this life that we're not proud of. And you know what, we get to go to our God, and you might say to yourself, Chuck, I'm growing weary, I'm tired of playing the hypocrite. How are you a hypocrite? Are you walking in sin? Well, no. Did you tell God you're sorry? Well, yeah. We're not a hypocrite. None of us here have skeletons in our closets, right? Oh, wait a minute. You could dig up some dirt on me, but it's not a skeleton if I've taken care of it with the Lord. A skeleton is when somebody brings up something that you haven't taken care of. And we're thankful that we have a God who's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. That's in the past. God knows that you're not perfect. I remember I was in Alabama. We were with the elder and his wife and some of his family, and my family was there. My kids were teenagers at the time. And they think they were slamming me because I was preaching that night on, they knew I was going to be preaching about family. And when one of my daughters spoke up and said, yeah, our dad expects us to be perfect. And I went, yeah. I know you're not going to be, but I expect perfection. God expects perfection out of me, although he knows I'm not going to be. You don't aim low. You know, I'm not going to give my kids permission to sin or do the wrong thing. I said, yeah, I want you. When we tell you to do something, we expected you to do that. Oh, you expected us to be perfect? Yeah, well, yeah, we have expectations. God wants us not to sin. You know, what's interesting about that 1 John passage? Where he says, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. Do you remember chapter 2 and verse 1? He said, my children, I write these things that you sin not. We never have permission to sin because every sin has consequences. You know, the word justified means to be without fault. And so we can be justified by forgiveness of sin. And we need to understand that difference of what it really means. We don't have permission to sin. It's like if I came home And my daughter, and I'm thinking now when they're younger, if my daughter is crying and she said, Nathan pushed me, and I said, Nathan, did you push your sister? And she says, and he says, yes, I did, Dad. Well, before I lose it, I say, what happened? She says, Dad, a car was coming and I pushed her out of the way. Oh, you're justified. You're without fault. That's the goal, right? And we can be without fault because of what Jesus Christ, we just finished praying about that. We're thankful for what Jesus did on the cross. We're not going to be perfect, but we're never to stop growing. I'm going back to that 2 Peter passage, 2 Peter chapter 3. I'm going to start reading in verse 14. Listen to this. Paul said, therefore, brethren, looking forward to these things, be diligent to be found in him in peace, without spot and blameless, and account that the long-suffering our Lord is salvation, as also our beloved Paul, brother Paul, according to the wisdom given to him, has written to you, as also in all his epistles, speaking in these things, in which some things are hard to understand, which those who are untaught and unstable twist to their own destruction, as do the rest of the scriptures. But notice verse 17. And you therefore, beloved, since you know these things beforehand, beware lest you also fall from your own steadfastness, being led away by the error of the wicked, but grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and forever. Grow. That's all. The Lord is just wanting you to grow. And you're going to have times where you're just hard on yourself, and you're going to have that godly sorrow that leads to repentance. But don't grow weary, folks, because the devil is relentless. He's not going to let up on you. Just when you think things are going good, boom, he hits us again. I know you never want to sin. I don't ever want to sin, and I get tired of that, but you know what? I'm going to move forward. I'm going to pray and strive not to do that again. I want to get stronger and stronger as time goes by. But there's other things that might cause us to become weary, and this is a big one. Did you ever watch the news? I tell Debbie in St. Louis, well, turn on the news. Let's see who got shot again tonight. Let's see who got carjacked. There's just so much crime. There's so much. You know, we converted a man there. When I first moved there, we had a visitor come out, and we got studying with Ike, and Ike works for the FBI. And that guy has opened my eyes to what's going on in St. Louis that I didn't even know was going on. I'm like going, seriously, that goes on right here? Abducting little kids? Selling them? Chuck, you have no idea what goes on. But even the stuff that we do see that's going on in this world, there's a lot of bad in this world. And it can just cause you and I just to quit. Now, I know there's a lot of bad because the Lord is telling us through Paul in Romans chapter 12, when he tells him, when he says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is reasonable service. But notice verse 2, when he says, and don't be conformed to this world. I'm going to tell you, we are being pressured to conform to this world, and we just might just like grow weary and say, fine, I'll let the world decide the standard of entertainment. I'll let the world decide what's fun. I'll let the world convince me on TV that if I drink, I'll be thin. I'll be good looking. I'll let the world decide what my dress code is going to be. I'll let the world decide what my vocabulary is going to be when I get angry. I'm just tired of trying to be thoughtful of what things I'm supposed to. No. Don't grow weary, folks, is my point. We mentioned this morning about letting our light shine. You know, in Kirkwood, I always make a habit when somebody responds to the gospel, I say, I'm always going to follow up with a lesson that pertains to it, because when somebody responds or is restored, it's a big deal. That's what the Lord said to in the prodigal son with the elder son. It was right that we rejoiced. And we need to be excited about it, and we need to be happy about this. And I remember when Olivia obeyed the gospel, bless her heart, and she's been bringing her boyfriend, and he obeyed. And then her boyfriend brought his brother, and he obeyed. And when I preach on this, I said, you know what happened when Olivia obeyed? A little less darkness in the world and a little more light. How sweet that is. Yeah, there's a lot of bad in this world, but what impresses me about Christians for the first time last year, I went down in one of those caves. You know the caves where they say you can't even see in the front of your hand? And but when they write, when they turn on a light or a candle, do you know darkness can't put it out? All that darkness down there couldn't put out the light. Light is strong, stronger than darkness, unless you allow it. Don't grow weary is what I'm saying. Don't allow all this muck and mire and all this bad stuff that's going on in this world to cause you to grow weary, folks. Because you can stay strong, you can be a light in this world, you get your brothers and sisters, and as we talked about this morning, the gospel, that's another point I preach when somebody obeys the gospel hasn't lost its power. It's still converting souls out there. It hasn't lost a bit of that power. You know what else can be discouraging? When you have lack of support from brethren. And it can happen. It can happen. Back to 2 Timothy, for those who were with us this morning, going back there again, makes this point. 2 Timothy chapter 4, beginning at verse 14, we read 14, I'm going to read a little bit more. But in verse 14, Alexander the coppersmith did me much harm. May the Lord repay him according to his works. You also must be aware of him, for he has greatly resisted our words. At my first offense, no one stood with me, but all forsook me. May it not be charged to them. But the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, so that the message might be preached fully through me, and that all the Gentiles might hear. And he goes on and talks. But here's my point. You know, don't grow weary if you're not getting that support. Do you know, years ago, I was in a small congregation, no elders. You can imagine how I would have felt. Because I can remember how I felt. I'm standing at the back. And brethren are coming in that morning, and we don't have any elders, it's a small work. And I'm like, okay, hey, Bill, do you want to lead a prayer this morning? Okay. Hey, so-and-so, hey, you know you're on for the Lord's Supper this morning? He goes, what? If I had known I'd have been on the Lord's table, I wouldn't even have come this morning. What do you think that did for me? Oh, man, that cheered me up. Well, no. You know, and there are times when lack of support from brethren can, in fact, discourage us. And I was talking with a brother. He called me up on the phone, and he said to me, because I had to cheer him up. He called me up and said, Chuck, our congregation's over 200. We had a member that has kind of drifted away. Hadn't seen him in a long time. I finally, we have elders and deacons. He said, but as a member, I went and visited him. And you know what the first thing he said was? You're the only one that has come to see me. And I said, look, don't get discouraged. What other people might not be doing, focus. You did well. You went and encouraged him. And that person needed to know, it doesn't matter what other people, that person has to answer towards God. It's an individual thing. But we don't want to blame somebody else for our lack of being faithful to the Lord. I've even done that recently in a Bible class. I mean, I'm studying with some new converts now, and I'm telling them, what would happen if I told you, if you found out I ran off with somebody else and left Debbie, what would that do? And you'd probably be upset about that. And they said, yeah, we'd be upset about that. Well, I'm going to tell you something. Better not lose your faith. You're not converted to me. You're converted to the Lord. And yes, some discouragements can happen with brothers and sisters. Sometimes it's misunderstandings. And as I mentioned this morning, sometimes hurting people who are hurting, hurt others. And there are times we need to be understanding. And when a brother bypasses you and didn't say hello this morning, you don't know that they were up all night. There's just a lot of things that go on. But I'm just, you know, Paul talked about this and how much it hurt him. But you know what? He didn't stop. He didn't stop. He didn't grow weary in well-doing. And then you read all the things that he went through, as being shipwrecked and being beaten and being left for dead and being hungry. I hadn't gone through that for serving the Lord. Then you read the book of Job. That'll help a lot. I got to get going here, folks. We got four more. Lack of appreciation. Now, this This stems from what we were talking about this morning, so I don't have to spend a lot of time on it, because our brother quoted Acts chapter 8 and verse 4, those that were persecuted, they scattered, went everywhere preaching the word. And the point that I want to get from that Acts chapter 8 and verse 4 is I can open up my Bible and I can read about Paul, Peter, Timothy. And I can read about some of the efforts, some of these people, Titus. And I can read about some of these individuals, but who are those that were scattered and went everywhere preaching the word? I don't know who they were. Well, I want notoriety. I want people to know who I am. I want to make a name for myself. Chuck, isn't that what it's all about? You want to make a name for yourself? No. You want everybody just to put you up on a pedestal? Is that what it's all about? You only want to do things if people notice? Is that it? You can do things without people noticing. You know, it's like if you come here early in the week and you notice some trash on there, what do you do? When you see a piece of trash there, do you go all the way to the back and see who's gone cleaning this week? No, you pick it up and throw it out. You know, that's what you do. You know, oh, but nobody noticed what I did. That's not what it's all about. People do a lot of things, and especially when you think about Matthew chapter 6 and what Jesus said about prayer and people wanting to, don't be like those hypocrites, like stand on the corner, look at me, I'm praying, and look how godly I am. Go pray up by yourself. There's a lot of things that brethren do here other people don't know about. Phone calls, emails, texts, taking some food over, mailing that card, just encouragement. And I especially when I preach on this, it's been a lot, but the point that really upsets me more than anything within my brotherhood, with especially at the Kirkwood Church, nothing upsets me more than when I see some of the older members who might feel they're unimportant. Everybody is important. We value them. Our older members, well, we're going to talk about that in just a few moments. Because there's some things that, as you get older, there's sometimes we might grow weary in well-doing because we just think that, well, I'm getting ahead of myself. But let's just focus right here. But lack of appreciation, sometimes that can cause you to grow weary. But remember, we're here to please God. That's the goal. Without faith, it's impossible to please Him. I want to please Him. And if He's pleased, it's not the other way around. It's not the idea of, well, if I'm pleased, then He's pleased. No, if He's pleased, then I am pleased. But let's move on. Lack of faithfulness of those that are close to us. Over there in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 10, you know, Paul had closed some letters talking about Demas. He was a fellow laborer and labored with him, and now Demas has loved this present world and gone off. That can be so discouraging, disheartening, and convey a terrible impact on our life when we just don't see brethren